for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 29th, 2011. Bo Fisher is the speaker of the morning teaching on You Have God's Favor, Approval, and Power.
And we're so fortunate that we have a special this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, the word of the Lord this morning about forgiveness, I had just before that was given, I felt like I needed to share this song that the Lord gave me out of an experience of mine, and I won't take time for the testimony of it, except to say that, real quick, my mother passed away when I was 13, my father remarried when I was 15, and I could not accept my stepmother. Okay? That's the real short version. And I had bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart that I carried for years. And at one point, the Lord moved on Sister Gwen Shaw to pray for me. And when she laid hands on me, and she knew what I'd been going through, she said, "Father, help Sharon to forgive her," meaning my stepmother, "because she didn't know what she was doing to her." And in that moment, there was an awakening of understanding, a realization that, you mean she didn't know she was hurting me? You know, the light bulb went on. And I suddenly had a grace of God to forgive that came over me like a wave. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten to that point yet in your walk with forgiving people, most of the time, now there are a few rare abusive occasions, but most of the time, people do not deliberately hurt us. They don't do it on purpose to hurt us, most of the time. And when you come to realize that, it makes it a lot easier to forgive. And out of that experience, the Lord gave me this song. I forgive you. I forgive you. Just as Jesus has forgiven me, I forgive you, I forgive you, just as Jesus has forgiven me. For years I searched and struggled to find so that I could freely live. But the best I could get was 80%. The wound wasn't still quite healed. But now to His healing hand I yield. I forgive you, I forgive you, just as Jesus has forgiven me. I forgive. Perhaps I was trying to fool myself, but I knew that unforgiveness is sin, and sin works death within the soul, and darkness to the eyes. But Jesus has given me His light, so that I can recognize
Lord Jesus, we pray that as we open the Word of God and Your Scriptures, we pray that You would speak to us and teach us, Lord Jesus, and we pray that You would deliver us in Jesus' name from deception, from bondage, and from the power of the devil. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18. Like I said the other night, for time's sake, I may kind of start reading before you get there. Starting in verse 1. As soon as David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, that's Saul's son, was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now look at verse 3. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David. I guess that was a sign of their covenant. And his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. Jonathan and David were best friends. They became best friends that day. There was immediately a knitting. This was an example of a healthy soul tie. They're an example of healthy soul ties as well as unhealthy soul ties. And this was a healthy soul tie. Now, why were they so immediately soul tied together? Well, I'll tell you. Turn to 17. Just go back and look at verse 45. The context of where we just saw David and Jonathan getting together as such bosom buddies was right after this had happened right here. Verse 45 of chapter 1 Samuel 17. Then David said to the Philistine, this is Goliath of Gath, the giant, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. See, through faith in the favor and approval and power of his God, David prevailed over his enemy that day, even though his enemy was a powerful giant, and David was just a very young man. Similarly, look at 1 Samuel 14. We're going backwards through the scriptures. 1 Samuel 14, and look at verse 6. Jonathan, in a wartime situation, said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart, do as you wish, I'm with you, heart and soul." So, do you see that David and Jonathan had a similar faith in the favor and approval and power of their God? And Jonathan and his armor bearer go on to kill 20 men in the Philistine garrison, and they begin a rout of the whole Philistine army, which inspires the army of Israel to rise up out of their hiding and weakness and passivity and fear and to fight, and the ground even quakes that day. And through faith in the favor, approval, and power of God, Jonathan prevails over his enemy, even though his enemies were very numerous that day. So you can see why David and Jonathan would be best friends. They were birds of a feather when it came to believing in their God. Well, then the days began to get dark, and the future became uncertain. And David and Jonathan began to discuss the days ahead. This was after having been friends for some time. And turn over to 1 Samuel 20. And look at verse 14. Jonathan says to David, "If I'm still alive in the future, show me the steadfast love of the Lord that I may not die. And do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Well, circumstances arose that caused them to have to part ways, not in enmity, but they parted ways as friends, but they had to each go their different paths in life. But they reaffirmed their covenant. Look at 1 Samuel 20 in verse 42. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" You see that? Well, time passes, and Jonathan and King Saul, his father, are killed in battle on the very same day. And David, through a series of circumstances, ascends to the throne of Judah. And then finally, after years, ascends to the throne of the whole nation of Israel. But he begins from his throne to remember his friend, his brother in arms, Jonathan. And he begins to think, and he said, turn to 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. And David says, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Was it character that David was looking for here? Was it achievement that David was looking for here? Was it righteousness that David was looking for here? No, he was looking for affinity. He was looking for a family relationship to be able to fulfill a covenant that had been made long ago. He's asking, "Is there anyone of this certain family that I might do good to because of a relationship that I had with a member of that family years ago that meant so much to me? And I, out of the goodness and my warm feelings and kindness of that relationship, I want to do good to and bless members of that family out of loyalty and kindness to that former relationship. This is a picture of how God deals with us in Christ. Keep your finger here in 2 Samuel 9, but turn over to the book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, and look in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. This is after he had gone to offer Isaac, and the Lord had stayed his hand. And said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." There's two things here that God does that you read about in Hebrews 6. Two things. Going back through this verses again, in verse 15, the angel says, "By myself I have sworn." That's the oath, right? That's the oath to confirm a promise that had already been made chapters before, years before, and is now being reaffirmed here in this verse. "By myself I have sworn," that's the oath, and then the promise, "I will surely bless you, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies," and some other things that we've already read in that verse. Was it because the offspring of Abraham obeyed? No, it was not because the offspring of Abraham obeyed. The obedience of one man, Abraham, resulted in the blessing of God upon all of his descendants. Period. No other qualifications. Now, we get confused by the introduction of the law 430 years later. But the law of Moses was a parenthesis in history. It had one purpose, and one purpose only. And that was to show us our need for a Savior, to deliver us from the wrath that comes by the law. Now, you can try to keep it if you want. But Peter said in Acts 15, "Why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" And remember that James says in his epistle that the law is a unified whole. You cannot pick and choose from it what part of it you want to keep. If you break one part of it, you have broken all of it before the Lord. So if you want to keep the law, be sure to get yourself a red heifer. Now, these folks in the back, I didn't have a chance to really meet you personally. Hey, you've just come back from Israel recently, is that right? Is that right? How much was a plane ticket, if you don't mind me asking, for one person? Approximately. It's expensive, I'm sure. Okay, well, let's just say it's $700 or so. More than that? $1,200. Okay, $1,200. If you want to keep that law, be sure to start saving now, because you will need to be in Israel. You will need to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost, and it's soon. You probably won't get the $1,200 rate. It'll probably be more because you don't have a 21-day advance notice or something. But that's okay. You can probably get the advanced rate for the Feast of Tabernacles. It's coming up. You'll need to go back because you're supposed to go three times in a year. And start saving now because you need to go again at Passover. The law of Moses cannot make you righteous. It cannot justify you. It can only do one thing and one thing only, and that is condemn you. Leave you charged, guilty, and in need of redemption and forgiveness. Now, once you recognize your need for redemption and forgiveness and fall on the rock that is Christ for mercy, God put you in Christ, who went to the grave under the law of Moses, which brought its jurisdiction to an end at the grave. Because when Christ rose from the grave, not lawless, he did not rise lawless, but he rose under a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which goes something like this: I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. I will show you kindness for Christ's sake. You shall possess the gate of your enemies. Now, Behave appropriately. Behave appropriately. You're a kingdom of priests, princes, and princesses of God. Behave and speak in a manner that reflects favorably on the reputation of your God and your Father and your King. Amen? The obedience of one man, Christ, resulted in the blessing of God upon all who would believe in Him. Period. No other qualifications. Let's look at 2 Samuel again, chapter 9, again, starting in verse 1. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I'm your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan, a son of Jonathan no less. He is crippled in his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, at Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I'm your servant." And David said to him, very precious words, "Do not fear. Do not fear, for I will show you kindness, because I have heard what a good man you are." Now he says, "I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid him homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson," that's to Mephibosheth, "and you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat, but Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Always eat at my table. And then in verse, 11, it says, "like one of the king's sons." Just like he was born of David's own loins, he got to sit at the king's table. Right next to, right in between, you know, all these guys, who were they? Absalom and Amnon and who was that? Adonijah. All these other guys. This is an Old Testament picture of the New Testament theme, which is that the favor, approval, and powerful working of God towards His people. But we see that same theme in the New Testament in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son returns to his father's house and receives acceptance and favor and approval. And he gets a ring, and he gets a robe, and he gets shoes on his feet, and he gets his food and all those kinds of things. And he's restored to sonship, not to servanthood, but a sonship that does love and serve his father in gratitude, certainly. Certainly the expectation is he would not behave in the same way that sent him off to the pig bin in the first place. It's not a lawlessness, but it's a higher law. It's the law of the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now there's only one non-negotiable expectation upon which God is emphatic concerning these things. When Joseph was brought out of prison to reign, what was his attitude towards his brothers who'd cursed him, rejected him, discussed killing him, sold him into slavery where he ended up in prison for 12 years? What was their attitude towards him? Towards them. Forgiveness. That's right. Forgiveness. "Freely you've received, freely give." Right? The scripture says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you." Now you, for Christ's sake, forgive. God, for Christ's sake, forgave you, even though you didn't deserve it. Right? Now you, for the same Christ's sake, forgive others, even though they don't deserve it. Immediately. Absolutely. Any person who has ever, at any time, done any wrong whatsoever to you. That's pretty absolute. If you like absolutes, here's an absolute. You absolutely, under no circumstances, have any right or reason ever to hold anything against anybody for any length of time. How's that for an absolute? Praise God. You know, your own forgiveness depends on it. Luke 11 in the Lord's Prayer says, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." As we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. Your own, turn to Mark 11. Your own blessing from God depends upon it, because it's necessary for your prayers to be answered. Look at Mark 11, verse 22, a verse you're probably familiar with. Jesus has answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." Those are extraordinary promises. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Even more astonishing promises. "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone." Isn't it funny that it'd be married right there in the verses with these outstanding promises about moving mountains and having whatever you ask in prayer? "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." And finally, your deliverance depends on it. Your forgiveness depends on it. Your blessing from God depends upon it, because it's necessary for your prayers to be answered. And your deliverance depends upon it, because in Matthew 18, it says that your heavenly Father will in anger deliver you to the torturers if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now, that's the only place in the Scripture that I'm aware of that says anything like that in the New Testament. But that just shows how very important it is that it would be so dramatically different from what the rest of the tone of the New Testament is. Forgiveness is absolutely essential, critical, non-negotiable. Now, if that's the only non-negotiable expectation upon which God emphatically places your forgiveness and blessing and deliverance, won't you do that right away? We've heard that over and over today. We heard it prophetically. We heard it through the song. God orchestrated all of this. This was written, I, of course, had no idea when I wrote this, when I put these scriptures down on paper, that the prophecy would go in this direction, that this song was picked, or anything like that. So this is something that the Lord is saying to everyone in this room or everyone that's watching on the internet. Let's all stand. I assume it's okay to do deliverance, huh? It's a deliverance camp, deliverance meeting. I know that by this time in the camp, we're probably all familiar with some of the basics of deliverance, forgiveness, soul ties, curses, the occult, things of that nature. But I'm going to do some deliverance and ministry with the rest of the time that's been allotted to me. So would you please repeat after me? Father, I confess to you that I have held unforgiveness, bitterness, or resentment in my heart against certain people who have hurt or disappointed me. I've also chosen to judge others, and as a result, have withdrawn from them in my heart. Please forgive me for these offenses against you and them. Thank you for the cleansing of your blood. I do now forgive and release the following people toward whom I've held any unforgiveness or judgments. Now forgive each person right now that comes to your mind. They really don't know what they're doing. Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." How can you say that? I mean, they obviously intentionally set up, arrested, betrayed, orchestrated a murder. But we have to trust what the Scripture says. Somehow or other, even in the intentionality of offenses against you, they don't really know what they're doing. So forgive. Right now, forgive. If you've been reluctant or reticent, now forgive. Let them off the hook. Now, Have you forgiven them? Then you are forgiven. Receive forgiveness. Now Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." If you look at that in the Greek, which I'm not a Greek scholar, but I figured out how to use a concordance and all that, Greek lexicon. That word, "Behold, I give you authority," that is the word exousia. It's jurisdictional authority, okay? It's like having a badge, like being a police officer with a badge. I give you authority, jurisdictional authority, over all the power of the enemy. That word is dunamis power, over all the explosive power and force of the enemy. That's like a gun. So what that means is that the badge trumps the gun. Okay? Let me put it this way. Let's say that it's discovered. Let's say that I'm a constable, okay, out in some neighborhood here in Arkansas, in a little town in Arkansas, and I discover that the entire major drug and illegal weapons distribution point for the entire region of the United States is right here in my little jurisdictional area. Now, is my bad? They may be in there with machine guns, with bazookas, they may have 300 people in there, every one of them armed to the teeth. They may have a big wall around them, razor wire, glass on top, gun turrets, everything like that. Is my badge authority enough to go and arrest every one of them? It is authority enough to go and arrest every one of them. My authority trumps their power. Now, I may get shot if I go up there like that, okay? But once like a bulldog, I've discerned that situation, I may need to go and get a bigger gun myself. I may need to call for reinforcements. But I have that authority because I represent ultimately the state of Arkansas. And then after that, I represent the government of the United States. And sooner or later, if I am persistent, if I don't give up, if I follow the correct chain of command and authority, sooner or later, there will be helicopters, there will be tanks, there will be SWAT teams, there will be paratroopers. There is no way they are getting away. They will have a circle drawn around them. They will come down. Amen? Now, because Ephesians 1 says Christ is at the right hand of God, far above every other kind of authority, we've already looked at that, and because I'm in Him, me personally, that means, and you too, that means that I have authority over every demon in this room, even the ones you think you want to keep, even the ones you think you have to keep because they're related to soul ties or attitudes or curses or sins that you think that you haven't repented of yet. The promise is to me. I have that promise over every authority, over every demon in you. And I'm about to exercise it. I believe it, and I'm about to exercise it. So there is no reason for anyone to leave here with anything less than total freedom and deliverance. So open your eyes, open your hearts, and receive right now the ministry in the name of Jesus. You know what unhealthy soul ties are. There are people in here that may have some unhealthy soul ties that need to be broken. Right now, if there is any romantic or sexual partner that has any unhealthy tie or influence over you right now, just confess that to the Lord. Just name their name. Just like, now if you have an unhealthy relationship with a parent, even if it's a dead parent, that there is an unhealthy influence over you, name that to the Lord right now. We're having to go through it fast for time's sake, but we'll go through it thoroughly. If there is a child which has an unhealthy influence over you, they have an unhealthy influence on your mental or emotional state because of your relationship, confess that sin to the Lord right now. Just name them. If there is a sibling that has an undue ability to influence you in your behavior or attitude or walk with the Lord, name that to the Lord right now. If there is a friend, quote-unquote, a friend that has an unhealthy ability to influence you away from your walk with the Lord. You're around them and you find yourself getting worldly, things of that nature. You care what they think a little too much. Name that to the Lord right now. If you've been idolatrous towards someone, if you've looked to a man or a woman, to a pastor, to a president, to a hero, to save you from your situation, to save you politically, to save you emotionally, to save you, repent right now. Name that to the Lord right now. God may use a man or a woman, but it's God that's doing it in your life. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, every single soul tie that has been named, that's been brought out on the table right here, in the name of Jesus, I break them. I break them, break them, break them. In the power of the Holy Spirit, between everyone in this room, everyone listening to a CD in the future, or everyone watching on the internet, in the name of Jesus, I break every unhealthy soul tie with every romantic or sexual partner, in the name of Jesus. I break every unhealthy soul tie with every parent. I break every unhealthy soul tie with every child, in the name of Jesus. I break every unhealthy soul tie with every sibling. I break every unhealthy soul tie with every friend. I break every unhealthy soul tie with every pastor or president or hero or person that's been looked to in idolatry, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now you know what a curse is. We've already received teaching on that. I'm going to lead you through a renunciation of curses. Repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I'm your child and have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. I thank you that you became a curse for me when you shed your precious blood. I enter into the victory that you won for me, and I take back what the devil has stolen from me. Forgive me for each of the following sins of mine and of my forefathers. Now, you may not have done this. Your forefathers may not have done this, but it's not going to hurt to renounce it anyway, because going back generations, 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 they probably did. Okay? All right? Forgive me, Father, and my ancestors for occult involvement, idolatry, witchcraft, and masonry. In the name of Jesus, I break, and no, I'll pray now. In the name of Jesus, I break every such curse. In the name of Jesus, I break it in the name of the Lord. Now, say, Father, forgive me and my ancestors for blasphemy, for dishonoring my parents and authority, for rebellion, disobedience, stubbornness. Forgive me and my descendants for murder, cursing others, anger, rage, unforgiveness, bitterness. Forgive us for theft. Forgive us for adultery and extramarital sex, premarital sex, bastard curse, incest, bestiality, rape, pornography, and masturbation. Forgive us for lying. Forgive us for covetousness. Now, in the name of, I'll pray now. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse off of every person in this room, every person listening to a recording, every person watching on the internet. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse of occult involvement, idolatry, witchcraft, and masonry. I break it over all these individuals and their descendants forever in Jesus' name. I break the curse of blasphemy off of these individuals and their descendants forever in Jesus' name. I break the curses from dishonoring parents and authority, rebellion, disobedience, and stubbornness in the name of Jesus. I break the curses off of them for murder, cursing others, anger, rage, unforgiveness, and bitterness. I break the curses off of them for theft. I break the curses off of them for adultery and extramarital sex, for premarital sex, for bastards, for siring bastard children, for incest, bestiality, rape, pornography, and masturbation. I break the curses off of them for lying. I break the curses off of them for covetousness. In Jesus' name, now, off of them and off of every one of their descendants forever, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, now I'm gonna lead you in a quick prayer, and then we're going to do some mass deliverance. We've got about 10 minutes left. Father, I confess to you that in the past, through ignorance, curiosity or willfulness, I or my ancestors have come into contact with certain occult things. I recognize and confess this as sin and receive your forgiveness. I renounce all contacts that I or they have made with any occult things. And we're going to name them in a minute, but right now I'm just going to break that curse generally. I break that curse in the name of Jesus over every single person in this room, every person listening to a recording or on the internet. I break those occult curses off of you and your descendants forever in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now let's just do deliverance from the occultism. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to call them out and you just say amen. Okay? All right. In the name of Jesus, I command all witchcraft to come out of the people. Witchcraft, go. Magic, go. Seances, go. Spiritism, go. Conjuring up spirits and communicating with the dead, go. In Jesus' name. Consulting mediums, go. Fortune telling, go. In Jesus' name. Palm reading, go. Crystal balls, go. Tarot cards, go. Astrology, go. Anything that predicts the future and advises your life, go. Yoga, go. ESP, auras, go. Reincarnation, human or animal sacrifice, go. Acupuncture, go. Mysticism, go. Hypnosis, go. Pyramid power, go. Enchantments, go. New Age movement, go. Good luck charms, go. Amulets and talismans and medals, go. Potions, go. Sorcery, go. Superstition, go. Powwow, go. Occult literature, go. Voodoo, go. Ouija board, go. Eastern religions, go. Shrines, temples, and lodges, go. Involvement with psychics, go. Martial arts, go. Sororities and fraternities that require the taking of an oath, go. Freemasonry and Eastern Star, go. Occult movies, go. Occult television programs and video games, go. Occult jewelry, religious artifacts and relics and artifacts and objects from pagan religions, go. In Jesus' name. Iridology, go. Reflexology, go. Occult visualization, go. Casting spells, go. Astral projection, go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Clap to God. Praise God. We're going to go through some more demonic groupings in the name of Jesus. Just like we did there, I'll call the things out and you just say amen. Okay? Addictions and dependencies. Go in Jesus' name. Sugar. Go. Alcohol. Go. Cocaine. Go. Caffeine. Go. Compulsive eating. Go. Compulsions of any kind. Go. Food and gluttony. Go. Gambling. Go. Marijuana. Go. Nicotine, go. Relying on prescription drugs, go. Romance novels and science fiction, go. Addiction to sports and television, go. Tranquilizers, go. Addiction to video games, go. In the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I command anger to come out of the people. Belittling others, go. Child abuse, go. Cruelty, go. Frustration, go. Hatefulness, spitefulness, go. Malice, go. Quick-temperedness, go. Fuming, go. Rage and railing, go. Retaliation and strife, go. Temper tantrums and violent outbursts, go. Not admitting that you're wrong, go. In the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Antichrist spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of the people. Attacking testimonies, go. Bitterness towards God, go. Blasphemy, go. Bored with spiritual things, go. Critical towards God, go. Degrading the Holy Spirit, go. Denying the blood atonement or the deity of Christ, go. Desire to scream out in church, go. Difficulty staying awake during preaching, go. Disappointed with God, go. Disinterest in spiritual things, go. Open unbelief, go. Not loving the truth, go. Doctrinal error, go. Not liking the way God made you, go. Not thinking God loves you, go. easily distracted from spiritual things. Go in the name of Jesus. I'm going to start doing these in groups for time's sake. Explaining away the miracles of God, false doctrine, false religions, and feeling like God desires to punish you. Go in the name of Jesus. Every one of those things. Feeling like God doesn't want the best for you, like you have to earn God's approval, that spiritual disciplines are burdensome. Go in the name of Jesus. Harassing the saints, hardened to the truth, humanism, go in the name of Jesus. Impiety, go in the name of Jesus. Inability to praise God or trust God or understand God's word or be attentive when the word is preached, go in the name of Jesus. Indifference to the word of God, go in the name of Jesus. Lawlessness, go in the name of Jesus. Leaving God out of your thinking, go in the name of Jesus. That's too many things. I'm going to do this differently. Right? Go, Antichrist spirit, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. I curse you. I break your power. I command you to leave God's people. You loose them and go. Every manifestation of the Antichrist spirit, in the name of Jesus, you go. I rebuke you. I break your power. I command you to come out of God's people. In Jesus' name, you loose them. I take authority over the spirit of bitterness. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, bitterness. I break your power. All symptoms and manifestations of bitterness, I command you to go in Jesus' name. You loose the people. Loose the people. Loose the people in Jesus' name. I rebuke you and break your power. In the name of Jesus, I come against bondages of every kind. Go, bondage. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. Every manifestation, go. I rebuke you. I break the power of bondage in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, compulsive behavior. Loose the people. Loose the people. Loose the people. Loose the people in Jesus' name. All compulsive behavior, controlling behavior, come out of God's people. I rebuke you. I break your power. Controlling behavior, controlling attitudes, controlling words. Go, go, go. Controlling spirit that's so damaging to spouses and children and people under your authority. I rebuke you. I curse you. I break your power. In the name of Jesus, you loose them and go. Depression, heaviness, discouragement, all the D words. All the D this and the D that and the just the down in the dumps. I rebuke you. I break your power with all passivity in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them in Jesus. That's one of the major tools of the devil is discouragement. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them in Jesus' name. I come against the bound emotions in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them to feel. Loose them to feel hurt. Loose them to feel pain. Loose them to feel love. Loose them to feel compassion. Loose them to feel joy in the name of Jesus. I command it in the name of Jesus. Escapism, I rebuke you. I break your power. Go, 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 go. Every escapism in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fears and anxieties of every kind, loose them and go. Fear of infirmity, fear of falling, fear of future sin in the name of Jesus. Fear of losing your salvation, fear of what other people think, fear of doing the wrong thing. Every kind of fear in the name of Jesus. So many fears. One root. Come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out in the name of the Lord. You're rooted in not knowing God's love, and we put the axe to the root and we rebuke you, fear. Loose them, loose them, loose them and go. In the name of Jesus, you come out. Every fear in the name of Jesus, we pull you out by the roots in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come against infirmities of every kind, many manifestations, many different ways you torment God's people, but one root. We rebuke you. We rebuke you. We rebuke you, infirmity. Loose God's people. Loose them. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Loose them in their internal organs. Loose them in their nervous system. Loose them in their digestive system. In the name of Jesus. Loose them in their blood. And loose them in their heart. Loose them in their mind in the name of Jesus. Loose them in the sensitivity in their skin. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Every single kind of infirmity. We rebuke you. We bring the hammer down in Jesus' name. We smite you. We smite you in Jesus' name. And you will not rise again. You will go from God's people in the name of Jesus. We take authority over all irresponsibility in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Not doing the things that they know they need to do in the name of Jesus. Be free. We set you free in the name of Jesus to make good choices by the grace of God. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Judgmentalism, go. Legalism, go in Jesus' name. Lying, all lying, we rebuke you, lying. We break your power. Every lying, cheating, stealing in the name of Jesus. Hiding, obscuring, not letting people see who you are in the name of Jesus, not being transparent, we rebuke you. We break your power. We command you to go in Jesus' name. All pride, we command you to go. Every bit of pride in the name of Jesus. Rebellion, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We tear you from God's people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejection, every manifestation of rejection, we bring you under judgment in the name of Jesus, and we strike you down. Loose them, rejection. Loose them now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, sexual sins of every kind, go. Every kind of crossing the line in the sexual area, loose them and go in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. We break your power. We break you from their mind. We break you from their sexual organs in Jesus' name. We take authority over unbelief. We break your power, unbelief. You loose God's people in the name of Jesus to trust in the Lord and in His Word and His mighty power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Shout hallelujah. I have 1 minute, and I'm gonna tell you a story. You may be seated. Thank you. Father, we pray you seal in the Spirit everything that was done in the spirit world in Jesus' name. I had a dream one time, and in the dream, there was a wide country lane, like an English country lane, grassy, and it was tree-lined, and there were couples walking up and down and people and things like that, and there was a man, a dandy, a young gentleman. He was walking down the road, and I knew in the dream that he was going to court a married woman. He was going to seek to commit adultery, to court a married woman. And in the dream, a man rode up on a gray horse, a somewhat older man, like a middle-aged man. And he rode up next to the man, and he had a riding crop. And he went past the man, and he struck him. And it was the man's husband, a woman's husband. And he wheeled his horse around, and he came back, and he struck the man again. And he wheeled his horse around, and he came back, and he struck the man again. And the man, you know, is beginning to cower now. The guy's up on a horse, and he's kind of going nuts, and he's beginning to beat this dandified young man who is off to commit evil with his wife. And what the Lord showed me through that dream was that that's how it is with us and the devil. That man, that young man, was being convinced that it was really not worth his time to pursue that particular woman. That there was, it was not worth the abuse that he was going to get in the spirit. And that is the spirit to have to adopt towards our fight against the devil. Just want to, I am going to smite you. I am going to strike you. I'm going to make you so miserable. You may come at my mind. You may try to hang on for a while. You're not going to want to after a while. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to whip you. I'm going to pin you down in the name of Jesus. I'm going to kick you. I am going to absolutely make you miserable in me until you go in the name of Jesus. That's my take on deliverance. Would you like me to bless the food? Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks for the ministry here today. I bless every single person in this room or who heard this word. Father, I pray for the things that they will hear and see and receive today and all the way through the rest of the weekend. We thank you for the blessing that is already on this camp. We ask you for more, and we ask you to bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.